So I'm Adrian, and today I'll be talking about how to ask for permission. Through the 1980s, people time-shared computers. Sometimes users spied on or harmed each other. But as a consequence, security mechanisms from that era for operating systems were designed to protect users from each other. Applications were given the full authority of the user because users wrote most of their own applications or got them from trusted sources. However, users can now install applications from markets that provide access to hundreds of thousands of applications from a diverse set of developers. So this introduces some threats. Users have to be worried about malware, which actively aims to harm them. Grayware, which is legitimate software that pushes the bounds of legality or what the user is comfortable with. And then there are completely legitimate applications that are benign but may have unwanted features. For example, a photo sharing application that by default tags your photos with your location. You might love this application but don't want to give it access to your location because you don't want it to share it with others. So in order to cope with this threat, modern platforms have application-based permissions instead of user-based permissions. In this model, applications, by default, don't have access to any sensitive resources like user data, hardware, settings, etc. If they want to get access to these, they have to ask the user for it. For example, like in this BlackBerry prompt here, where Mr. Number Call Block is asking for access to some kind of phone information. So the goal of permissions is to help users control their applications, control what data, the hardware, etc. Unfortunately, most platforms have fallen short of this goal because they haven't been usable. So for example, this is a screenshot of a Windows UAC prompt. So the way this works is by default in Windows Vista or 7, when running under UAC, applications don't have just have low levels of privilege. And then if they want to get access to administrator privileges, this prompt pops up. And the user can say yes or no to it. A study in 2010 found that 95% of participants in an experimental study consented to these UAC dialogues when they were brought up in a malicious adversarial setting because the users were so absorbed in another task that they were doing that they just very quickly clicked through them. Now here's a screenshot from Android. So here Pandora is asking for access to the phone state and identity, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, etc. So these permission prompts are shown as part of installation. Unfortunately, in a study that we did a few months ago, we found that 42% of people who we were observing installing applications had never noticed the permissions before, ever. They had always just clicked that accept button without actually taking the time to look at the permissions that were on the page. So some people actually told us after we pointed them out that they must have been added because they didn't exist the last time they installed an application. So the question that I'm going to be addressing during this talk is how do we ask users to make informed decisions about application permissions? So how do we get them to pay attention to our warnings? When should we show the users these warnings, etc.? To begin with, I'm going to present a set of guiding principles for warning design that's taken from warning science literature. So when a user is asked a security question, he or she can take one of two paths. The first is optimizing. A user who is optimizing will read the question that's presented to them, will retrieve memories from long-term memory, and will make a decision based on the information they read and their memories. On the other hand, a user who is satisficing will not read the question well enough to understand it, will retrieve salient cues from short-term memory, and will rely on heuristics to get through the question as quickly as possible instead of actually making a decision. So, of course, we want to encourage people to optimize and discourage satisficing. Now, those previous two user studies I mentioned, the one with Windows UAC and Android, both of those were examples of users satisficing to get through permission prompts and therefore not reading them. So there are two main guidelines that we recommend that permission designers follow that come from this literature. The first is to conserve user attention. So human attention is a finite resource. Every subsequent warning that you show a user takes up some of that attention. And therefore, people pay less and less attention to each warning. Additionally, seeing very repetitive warnings trains users to become habituated to clicking yes, to accepting them and going through them quickly, which again encourages satisficing instead of optimizing. The next guideline is don't interrupt the user's primary task for security. So typically the way that people encounter permission questions is when they're in the middle of trying to do something. And they're focused on that primary task of doing something with the application. They're not really interested in the security dialogue, so they're not motivated to actually read it or pay attention to it. They just want it to go away as quickly as possible so they can go back to the fun thing they're doing. So with these guidelines in mind, I'm going to discuss the pros and cons of the four main permission granting mechanisms that are available to permission system designers. The first one is to just automatically grant the permission to the application without actually asking the user. And then, if the application misbehaves, give the user some way to either undo what the application has done or prevent it from happening again. So this example is for a wallpaper permission. So instead of asking the user whether an application can change the wallpaper, have something in wallpaper settings where the user can revert to the last wallpaper. And also it shows the user the name of the application that put the wallpaper they didn't like. So the user can uninstall the application, or maybe they could go elsewhere in settings and remove that permission from the application. As another example, consider setting the time. So maybe we could let any application set the time. But then if the user goes into date and time settings, they see, why does it think I'm in Hawaii? They see what application has done this. They can then prevent the application from changing the time again or uninstall the application. The advantage of this is that it doesn't consume user attention, which is a very desirable property. However, it's only appropriate for permissions that can be undone or permissions that protect low severity privileges. So things where it's okay if it happens once or twice, like vibrating the phone or changing the time. And then the user can just prevent it from happening again. Next, there's trusted UI. So I'm going to explain this one by example. Consider the button with a little camera on it that the arrow is pointing to. Instead of showing a dialog that says, hey, do you want an application to get access to the camera, you put a button that the operating system controls. So the application can say where to put it, but the application controls it. The application can't overlay over it or cause it to be fired. So the operating system knows that if the user presses on that button, the user wants to let the application take a photo. Another example here is a photo chooser. You've probably used photo choosers on your own phone. Now imagine a photo chooser is the only way for an application to get access to photos on your phone. The application wants photos. It pulls up a chooser like this. The user can select the albums or photos that they want to share with the application. And then the application, the operating system, which is the one who renders the screen, then gives the application those privileges. The reason why this is so good is because it's non-interruptive. Trusted UI is part of the user's normal workflow, helping them get towards the goal of what they want to do. So they're incentivized to optimize instead of satisfice. However, the disadvantage is that it's only appropriate for user-initiated actions. So consider that you've got some application that's going to do something when your network state changes. That's not initiated by the user, so you can't use trusted UI for it. You need to use a different mechanism. Next, there are runtime consent dialogues. These are much beloved by system designers, so I'm sure you've seen them. For example, here, this one shows an iOS location permission consent dialog. The benefit to these is that they're applicable to almost all permissions. You've got a fairly standardized layout. However, they're interruptive, so people aren't motivated to pay attention to them. They're habit-forming because if you see a lot of them, you're always doing the same thing, which is pressing yes. So you become trained to do that. And they're not very useful for granting advance approval. So imagine you've got an application that's supposed to brick your phone. If you lose it, say someone's stolen it, they're probably not going to be nice enough to click through one of these dialogs to allow it to be wiped. And then there are install time warnings. These are shown during installation. Here's an example of an Android one, as I showed earlier. So these are shown as a condition of installation of an application, although they theoretically, you know, you, in Android, you have to accept all of them, but theoretically you could accept or deny them selectively. The benefit of these is that they're applicable to all permissions, even advance approval, because they say, hey, anytime after you install, the application can do this. But the con is that they're interruptive. The user is trying to get their cool app. They're not necessarily looking for security information at this point. They also look like EULAs, or terms of service, which is really unfortunate because people have been trained by clicking through hundreds of EULAs and terms of service to not pay attention to things that look like EULAs or terms of service. Actually, in the user study I mentioned earlier, we had people explicitly telling us they didn't read them because EULAs were just going to tell them what they couldn't do with the application. And they're also habit forming. So if you are seeing these every time you install an application, again, you're going to get very used to clicking yes to them, just like the runtime consent dialogs. Now, what we're saying is that instead of picking one of these four mechanisms for your whole system, choose the best one for each permission with the goal of maximizing the number of permissions that you handle with trusted UI or with automatic grants, and minimizing the number that you do with runtime consent dialogs or install time warnings. So to help with that, we propose a set of four questions to help decide which mechanism should go for which permissions. So first, we say you should consider whether it can be undone. If the answer is yes, then automatically grant that privilege. If not, then consider whether it's merely an annoyance. Now, I personally think that this should be done with user feedback, not just on what the permission system designers think is an annoyance. If it is just an annoyance, then you can automatically grant that also. If it's more than annoyance and it's user initiated, then you can use trusted UI. However, if it's not user initiated, then you need to consider whether the user can approve it when it's needed. If so, then you use a runtime consent dialog, and otherwise, use an install time warning. So for a quick example, here's let's consider access to the internet when the phone is roaming. This can get very expensive, as I discovered when I foolishly used my phone in France a few months ago and racked up a $300 data bill. Yeah, don't do that. So can it be undone? No, once an application has used data when roaming, you can't take it back. Is it an annoyance? Well, it actually costs you money, and it might even annoy phone providers because they have to deal with consumers calling up, oh my god, why is my bill so high? I didn't know the app was going to do that. The user doesn't initiate it either because, you know, it's just something, it's a state that changes as you move around with your phone. It's not something the user is explicitly trying to do. So for this one, you need to use a runtime consent dialog. Let's also consider, for contrast, recording with the microphone. So again, it can't be undone. It's more than an annoyance. You know, a microphone could record pretty personal information. But in most cases, the user does initiate microphone access. You know, we looked through applications and found very few instances, actually almost no instances, where applications want to begin recording with a microphone where the user does not want to grant that approval. So we suggest trusted UI for that one. So in order to figure out what would be applicable where, we applied that set of guidelines to a set of platform-neutral permissions. We created the set of platform-neutral permissions by looking at Mozilla Web APIs, Android permissions, Windows capabilities, and some of the privileges in iOS. We went through that. And we found that about 80% could be handled by automatically granting the permission or by creating a form of trusted UI. So that's pretty good. You know, that's 80%. That's more than the majority of permissions. But then, you know, there's some remaining amount that do need to be handled with runtime consent dialogs or install time warnings. But, you know, this is an area that we'd love to do further measurements on in terms of how often different permissions are used, et cetera. But we think that this is encouraging and that, you know, more effort should be placed into trying to figure out what parts of permission systems can be moved to trusted UI or automatic granting and away from consent dialogs or install time warnings. So we often hear people discussing which is better, you know, runtime like iOS or install time like Android. And my answer is that that's the wrong question. Both are bad, and both should be avoided if possible. But sometimes they are necessary. But in the cases where they're necessary, you know, we really want to make big impact by minimizing the number of times people see them, so that when they do see them, they pay attention to them. So in conclusion, we propose guidelines for how to ask users for permissions while minimizing the amount of user attention and the number of interruptions that people face. I know we're not going to take questions immediately, but if you want to ask me anything offline later, here's my email. Thanks.